Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Welcome to the Midnight Paco Podcast. As always, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
And I am the underscore great underscore C-O-R-E-E. That's where you can find me. Or you can find us both on the Midnight Paco Podcast. As you can see,
yep,
we have a very special guest in the house tonight.
We do.
We have a fellow comedian.
Yes.
And IT specialist.
Bam.
And father, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Bob Watson.
Bob Watson, everybody.
To the Midnight Paco Podcast. Watson. Now, where can they find you at, Mr. Bob Watson?
Yeah. Bob Watson, 828 on Facebook is my main thing there. Man, I'm not so up, but I'm also on Instagram, Bob Watson, 828. And that's about it.
That's it.
Nice.
You ain't on TikTok?
Nope.
You ain't
TikTok yet? Not yet. I'm waiting to find out if they kill it or not, and then I'll commit.
Okay.
What the?
The rebirth.
But yeah, I'm working on my old craft school of comedy, and I got to do better at social media for sure. Yeah,
roger that.
Ain't nothing wrong with it, because you know, basically when you say you're working on your craft of comedy, it sounds awfully familiar.
Yes.
Like somebody I know that's really close to me.
Yes.
They used to be like,
I wonder who that could be.
They used to just say, I never want to do my comedy. I just want to do my comedy. I'm like, dude, like, that's cool, but, you know. Moving on.
Yeah.
I could feel those looks. I felt those death rays looking at me. Like,
damn.
I never want to do my comedy.
Hey, things change, everybody.
Things change. What else?
I never want to do my comedy.
Anywho, it's not about me.
So to the Midnight Paco Podcast, brought to you in part by the Acumen Paralegal Services. Help you help yourself the legal way. The services that they offer, they help with documents that need to be typed. Guardianships, probate, divorce, wills and trusts, complaints, business organization, financial planning, and legal research and writing. Go ahead and give them a call at 216-727-0049 or 216-456-2000. Michelle White will get you right.
We have a special guest in the house tonight. His name is Bob Watson, and actually, like, I feel like, I don't know, in some weird way, I feel like I've watched him grow as a comedian.
That's true.
I feel like I saw him do his first bit, second bit, and he's became great comedian through the years.
Yep.
In a short period of time, actually. How long have you been doing it?
2.5 years.
Nice.
And you're too kind.
You're one of my favorites, Bob.
I appreciate that. I sit back
and it's like, I listen to your set and it's like, anything you say, because any off-the-wall stuff that you say is just funny. You know what I mean? It's just your personality, the person you are. So when it comes out of your mouth, it's just, that's, to me, it's hilarious.
Yeah,
so
yeah, just, thank you. That's a lot of maybe my inspiration or whatever, but my take is like Mighty Python, the Holy Grail. You guys ever seen that? That's one of our favorites. Like stupid English humor and Letterman growing up watching that a lot. The stupid guy freaking trying to do whatever. I think that's the funniest shit, and that's what I'm trying. That's my take on it. I think that's funny. I'm trying to do that on stage.
Yep.
Well, I mean, you know what you have with, you know, like I can imitate you.
Do it, man. I want to see it.
Well, you know, Bob, I mean, it's hard sometimes. It's a little tough. It's a little tough to do, Bob.
it's just like, basically, if I can imitate you and others, people know who I'm imitating, that means you got something. You know what I'm saying? If I can say, who am I, and I do this impression, I'm like, that's...
I still don't think you got me. I don't think.
Damn. Maybe he likes my comedy better than yours. Oh, shit.
It's your standout guy. I'm hard to pin down. I'm hard to pin down.
The point that I'm making, that if I can imitate you and people know who you are, that means you got something. That means you're standing out.
You don't blend in. You're a personality. That's what I'm saying. Like watching you on stage when you start talking about pooper or some shit, cracks me up automatically.
So I got a bit in the whole...
Don't give up the bit.
Talk about what you want,
it's
man.
Good though, but the whole bit is like, I just try and say pooper, or big pooper, or little pooper, as many times as I can in some logical fashion. Like, that's the whole bit, and it's ridiculous, but it's anyways,
coming out of your mouth.
I love it. Audience don't always, but I appreciate you. Remember that, Justin.
Let me just say this.
But the whole point of the bit is just say pooper.
Let me just say this. Like, first of all, like, talking about poop and stuff like that, I could do it all day.
All day.
And one of my superpowers is you say something to me disgusting, and I can make it way more disgusting than you ever imagined. And you're going to regret ever saying it. That's my superpower. But in the comedy world, I think it's a superpower.
Okay.
Because, you know, I think because a lot of times people say stuff and they're trying to be disgusting and nasty. Right.
And you flip it.
And I say it like way worse, and they looking at me like, what the fuck?
Damn, you took the wrong place.
And that's what I could do, and I could do it like real quick.
You just want attention, huh?
No, because I don't do it on stage.
No, I know. You do it at work.
No, I do it in private. You know, I do it in private because I realize that that's not what the masses want.
Yeah, I know.
Right. Well, all of our comedy homes, and correct me if I'm wrong, Bob.
Right.
Yep.
Our comedy home is at the Funny Stop in Cuyahoga Falls. Is that yours? Is that where you first started?
That's where I first started, for sure.
Yeah.
I consider that my comedy home because that's where I first started. That's where Justin first started.
I started getting going on the Cleveland mics in the Cleveland scene, like a lot of mics in Lakewood.
You're an LVT-er?
Yeah, and then Judd's, I was there religiously getting started and stuff. So honestly, I kind of got going in Cleveland, but once I got a little traction.
Oh, okay, that's when
Then I came out to Funny Stop.
Okay. Well, I know where he's going with this.
I'm saying is, like, God rest
R.I.P. Pete.
You know, he told Justin. Justin, trust me. You You gotta drop the poop jokes.
Nobody
wants to hear about poop.
Because I have a baby wipe joke.
You got more than a baby wipe.
I mean,
it's poopy
Pete
booty.
Died before he could tell me that, so I missed that good advice, unfortunately.
He's been in the business for 30 years, and I understand what he's saying because it's gotta be, you know, this is what I gather after Pete
passed away. All of my stuff works.
Okay, it does.
Damn, Justin's talking to ghosts out here and shit.
It does and it don't.
Depending.
It does and it don't. And I think Pete had Justin's best interest at heart.
100%.
With telling him that the poop.
I agree with that 100%.
So
yes.
Just, you know, I mean, like, maybe now is not the time. Don't scrap it.
Oh yeah.
No. But you have a good point though. Like, here's just, even with that pooper thing, like, I don't dial down into the grossness of it. Like, it's just like, oh, pooper is a funny word, and I'm just like bouncing along the surface on that. But you're right. Like, if you don't want to get down and dirty and stupid with going to the bathroom, like, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I mean, I always take it a different direction, obviously, because I'm a filthy individual, but you know what I'm saying? It's, you know.
I mean, what did Greg Morton say? He said, we're going to talk about fingers and buttholes and abortions.
Yeah.
And it's going to be awesome.
That's going to be awesome. Shout out to Greg Morton.
Shout out to Greg Morton. That was his Justin impression, by the way.
That's the other side of the coin, though. If you can just, like, really double down on it and own it, like, you could probably do anything, maybe.
I mean, I'm pretty much myself on stage.
Well, I just mean, if you own and you get too dirty, but you're really into it, like, you're referencing that
I think
guy.
Once you get your voice and once you get your following, then you could probably veer more into what you want, because they're going to understand where you're coming from.
So I you're trying so. To say you got to kind of, like, gear your set to the masses, or... You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, there is. Okay,
so this is really just talking about what I like to talk about.
No, this is what I honest to God think. Like,
I mean, you can get paid more shows than I could, for sure, because of your material. Those are facts.
All right, so knowing that, why don't you change?
Well, because you just, we're different mindsets. It's not about change. It's just, there's certain subjects.
I just
subjects.
Got in the middle of a lover's quarrel here.
It goes into what we talk about on stage, you know, and how you form your material. A lot of the stuff you say, I think, would work outside. You like out of like a corporate event or things like that. Like, a lot of stuff I say rides the line because I talk about drugs, sex, all that shit, but I don't swear. But it doesn't matter because the subject material is drugs, sex, you know, filthiness. Yeah. Whereas he's not so much in that realm. He can be, but you know what I mean?
You got a great point. His subject material's like more...
Family-oriented.
Just like...
A lot of just...
Yeah, just funny real-life world experiences of getting through your day.
Yeah.
I try to be that way, but, you know, and it's basically because of...
Sinbad.
Damn, he can't complete a sentence.
Look,
this is when you know the Baco Midnight Podcast has been going too long. Cool C can't finish his sentence without Justin.
He pauses and I like to just fill in words.
It's not Sinbad, and shout out to Sinbad. I think he's a phenomenal
That's
comic.
That's why I said.
And continue to heal Sinbad. But I'm saying, like, when you... alright, so I started at the Funny Stop.
Right. Yep.
He wanted 5 minutes clean.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's where I started doing comedy. So it's just like,
your 5 minutes clean is freaking rock solid, by the way. So
thank you, man.
However you got there, that's good shit.
Thank you. And I try not to, you know, I can, and I have experimented with, like,
yeah. Oh yes.
You know, like, different things. But I just think that you should, as a comedian,
I mean, one of your killer bits is still on the rise, people. It's on the rise, is all I'm saying. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just think that, you know, like, as a comedian, you should be able to pride yourself in being willing to perform in any situation.
100%.
Yeah. If you're hired for a corporate event, and I personally think, and I could be wrong, that Pete's plug was the dry bar.
No, I think you're 100% on that.
Yeah, that could be. I never thought about it, but you're probably right.
And dry bar takes place in Utah?
Yeah, I believe so. It's all clean,
Because he had several people that came that just did their dry bar special.
Yeah.
Coming to perform at the, you know, at the Funny Stop.
Yep. Yep.
And I think they all went through freaking Pete. So it's like,
you know, he was grooming everybody that went through that club for that reason.
I believe so.
Yeah. 100%.
You're probably right.
And then, in addition to doing something like dry bar, then you could get hired for a corporate event. Or maybe even church. Yeah, Not even if you want to do a church, but
right.
You can possibly do a church.
Yeah, the world's open. Anybody's going to like this clean humor.
Yeah.
There's
look at Joe Byers.
Yeah.
You know about Hot Breath?
Who?
Hot Breath. Hot Breath Podcast.
Shout out to Joe Byers.
Yeah. I just seen a clip on TikTok. Okay. That's how I get.
Was it our clip?
No, it wasn't your clip, sorry, but
no, that's okay, because Joe Byers, I consider him a friend of the show.
Definitely a friend of the show. Okay. Yeah, we had him as a guest early on.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn.
He was one of the persons I listened to when I first started doing comedy, and then so, you know, I told him about it.
You think he'll come back?
I think he would.
I hope he'll come back.
Yeah. I mean, he came
out. That's cool as shit,
dude. I think so.
Wow,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, his setup was way better than ours, but I think we got it back.
But now our setup is better.
Other than one coaster, but otherwise.
Upgrades, people, upgrades. Hey, moving in transit, you lose stuff. But our guest has one.
No, I don't care about the coaster. I was just referencing Cool C's take on things. Yeah. I don't want to be an ingrate or guest.
What are you talking about? Bob's been the best.
Bob's the best. But I do say that, you know, the fact that we have one fucking coaster is...
Hey, man, like I said,
and he just keep talking about the move.
Life be life.
He talk about the move.
Life be life.
Let me just say this.
Life be lifing.
We had one coaster for a long time.
A long time. Life
and be life. It was before the freaking move.
It's all... No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
I made a couple moves from the house to the apartment.
It was before that.
Life be life.
Yeah, life be life. Anyway, we got Bob Watson.
This is quality entertainment, right?
We got Bob Watson in the house.
We're going to do this for 20 minutes and then.
So, Mr. Bob Watson.
This is how we do things, sir.
No, it's cool. I just fuck around, dude. I love it.
Bob Watson, how long have you been doing comedy?
Yes.
2.5 years-ish.
Now, this is what I want to know, because we know, how old are you, sir?
I am 54.
I love that.
Yo!
That's the thing I wonder, and wait, you started, how old were you when you started?
Okay, I've been doing it for 4 years, so I was 45.
I think you might be in a similar boat, but part of me is like, I feel like it's harder to start because once you get into it, because freaking, what was I? Like, I was 51-ish when I started. And so, like, to get up on stage and be more free or more goofy or whatever, like, you got 50 years of, like, I'm this normally respectable human being in the community, and now I'm up here trying to be silly. And so I feel like it was like, sometimes I ponder if it's harder to do that being older.
That.
You know what I
mean? I definitely get that.
Oh, you want?
You got something to
add? I was going to say no, because I've always been that silly person.
I definitely get that. Especially
a microphone is like, now it's just time for me to be me.
I've always tried to like be lively and crack jokes no matter where I'm at, but to get up there and really be stupid like that, you know.
Yeah, so you're coming like, out of your shell.
Yeah, it's like taking, after 50 years and not.
I got you. I mean, I for your get personality, that
because,
I get it.
Because this is where we all are. We all have to play these roles of responsible adults, and we don't do this and do that. And then you finally, you know, okay, I'm going to do this comedy thing like I did. I said, you know, Jay showed me a way that I can go out and do an open mic. I didn't know anything about
Jay.
It. Justin.
Okay.
So I did it, and I'm like, when I first went, I sat in there, and I'm like, Ain't nobody talking to nobody. I thought a room full of comedians would be the best place in the world to be. Everybody shooting jokes every which way and nobody talking to nobody. Man, let free, let go and let loose, you know? Even though, because, you know, you have to play a role. I'm an adult, especially if you made people. You try to set a good example for the people that you made.
Yeah, right. You got kids.
You know what I'm saying?
Right,
yeah. Right, right. You got kids, so you know.
I don't know, man. Yeah. My son knows exactly who I am.
Sometimes
like,
they do.
My goddamn daddy.
Right? You know
you're,
what?
You're spot on, dude. My kids see my shit, I'm just like, oh, man. I'm. Yeah.
Sometimes
my
they do, sometimes they don't. But see, in the kids' mind, they think that y'all didn't never do shit. They think you never did.
No. Right, right, right. Like, I don't know, man. My son's been there the whole... It's
yeah, but
weird.
Even if I try and tell my kids I did shit, they're like, oh, whatever, Dad.
But it was different back then.
They don't even want to hear.
It wasn't the same back then.
Oh, yeah, no, they say that. But no, I don't know. Because, like I said, when I was in the military, my son was 6. And so he knew when I left. You know what I mean? It was one of those things. So he knew I did that when I came back. And then I played football. Semi-pro, he was already grown. He was filming it, so he's seen me do that. I've always tried to show him and tell him, if you want to do something, go after it, and don't wait for your friends, because you'll never do
nothing.
Oh, no,
definitely.
You know what I mean?
That's freaking powerful,
never
what you
accomplish
just said.
Anything.
Don't wait for your friends. That's,
you'll
yeah.
never. I mean, trust me, my friends have dipsetted and done amazing things, so I'm the one that's always been like, when is it, you know what I mean? But it's always like, you got to create your own path, and you can't wait for anybody else. And it's like, when I joined the military, I went by myself at 25, you know, and things like that. So, you know, it's
just to piggyback on what you said, but like one of the things that I always said, like I tell the younger people, like when you come across an older dude that's cool and laid back, don't think he a sucker because he's cool and laid back. What that means is he wild out so much when he was younger. Now he's cool because he's done with that. Like, he's like, man, I've been there, done that. I'm cool and reserved right now. I don't need to kick it every weekend. I don't need to be at all the spots. I've been there, done that.
Yep.
I'm chilling right now. So don't think that he's a sucker and ain't never did nothing. Because he's chilling right now. So Bob, you know, like you're doing the comedy. You're letting you're doing something like that. Like, what made you? How long? Like, what? Who were some of your comedic influences?
Oh man, I know it's kind of silly because it wasn't outright stand up comedy, but the old David Letterman when it was at 12:30,
mm-hmm.
not when he got mainstream, but I love the shit out of David Letterman. I watched so much of his stuff, and so much it was just like, I'm the big dumb guy and like feigning anger over different things. But yeah, that's a huge one. Like I was saying, again, it's not stand up, but it's like the Holy Grail.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a comedian, wasn't he?
Of course he was.
Yeah,
so,
Letterman
was a comedian. It's, you know what I mean? That's just a stepping stone. Everyone sees people where they're at in their career and they forget the grind they had prior to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he was a comedian, so it is a comedic influence. You know,
absolutely.
He just had a show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then, you know, along those lines, Mighty Python and the Holy Grail, that whole troupe came up in comedy and created that.
And created
movie.
That. You know what I mean? It's like, with friends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
Like, everyone's like, oh, well, you'd be perfect for this role or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, trust me, you play a great role in many things. You could just your character. You know what I mean? Because you could be that person just says that off the wall shit and people wouldn't expect it from you.
Yeah.
Or you could play a guy who's at the bar smoking a goddamn cigarette or some shit. You know what I mean? You're that friend, or you know what I mean? You could always be that person in a movie.
Yeah, but that was a lot of it when I was younger.
So David Letterman in the Mighty Python.
Yeah. And then, as I've gotten older, there's like Bill Burr. I love the shit out of him.
Shout out to Bill Burr.
Shout out to Bill Burr.
Yeah, that guy's great. Nate Bergazzi is freaking killing it now.
He's like one of the most grossing comedians last year, I think.
Yeah, but
he's clean.
Yeah, and he's great with that kind of mantra or motif or whatever you want to call it, where it's like, you know, I'm not too bright, and this is my take on it, kind of thing. And,
right.
And that's somewhat so trying to emulate.
Is that, you think it's an act, like, built in, or that's just how his personality
comes? I mean, I don't want to call it an act, because I genuinely think that's funny.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'll see something.
He seems like a real person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's he comes off as, like, we'd be at the funny stop with his ass or some shit.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? Yeah. You know, and that's just the thing. Like, I mean, I don't want to, like, just call it an act. Like, it's like I think this is funny, and this is a way to say it funny on stage.
Right.
Is that I don't get it. And it seems like it.
You know what?
I like that approach to humor, I guess.
The beautiful thing I've learned in watching a lot of headliners that I love is that you need to get your fan base.
Yeah.
If you get your fan base, you're going to be okay.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's hard to reach that many people when we're all starting, you know.
Right.
So what made you at 51? You know what I mean? It's like, where were you when you're like, I'm gonna try comedy?
Well, all right. So we got three boys, and they all were in high school or ready to start college, and I'm like, okay, the kids are done being raised. And then, honestly, like, since probably since high school, I wanted to, like, do comedy, or, you know, and I've been right. It's funny, I worked at doing IT, I worked at this place, and this guy kind of washed out of Hollywood, and I was like, oh, you know, I think I'm funny, right? Like, every freaking idiot, right? I think I'm funny, man. Like, what should I do? He's like, write it all down. And blah, blah, blah. And
whoa. You knew this guy that washed out of Hollywood?
Yeah, well, he was just somebody who came through my work. Like, we were trying to...
Is it anybody we ever heard of?
No. It was like, you know, I'm the IT guy, and I'm getting his computer set up and whatever. You can connect to the printer and that kind of shit. That's the only way I talked to him.
But he was at the office, and you were fixing his shit, and he was washed out of Hollywood working at that job.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but he's like, write it all down. So I started writing shit down that was funny, and sadly, I've not even gotten through it. I have, like, this booklet of papers that I've yet to go through. Once I started doing stand-up, it was like something I thought of 3 months before and tried to work that, and other shit floats in my head. But I'm upset at myself. I haven't gotten through those papers yet. But I had 10 years of papers of funny shit I wrote down, and the kids are old enough now, like, you know, thank God we're financially secure. And I'm like, well, what am I going to do with the next 30 years of my life?
Okay.
And I was like, I've always loved comedy. I've always wanted to do this. I wrote all this shit down. Like, I'm just going to go out there and try it. And, you know, I want to embarrass myself routinely every week. Like, that's...
It's fun, though, right?
That wasn't my goal.
But I say this...
Sometimes it feels that way.
I say this all the time, though. It's just like, if I like you know, you're stuck in a spot in your life, and you're like, okay, I grew up this way. I've always wanted to do it. Let me try and find out how to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
right.
So,
how can I get this?
So I started doing it, and I realized how many people I met because of doing it. You know what I mean? Think about it now. We would probably never cross paths.
Freaking,
you know,
the greatest human beings you could ever meet.
Thank
you. In the comedy scene.
Thank
I swear,
you,
guys.
Appreciate it, bro. Appreciate it, sir. But it's all because of something we want to do.
Right.
And make people laugh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's all we want to do, and it's like, I hate being told what to do. You know, that's a part of it. I hate jobs.
Dude, that's interesting. I wonder if all of us feel that way. Because I have this thing about, like, I'm tired of this guy telling me what to do.
I guarantee most people have jobs where they're drivers or the delivery guys, because you know what I mean. They want to not be in a single spot. It's almost like you have a job, but you're your own boss. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You go in, you grab your load, and then you're gone. You don't got nobody fucking talking to you for hours in the day. What are you doing? What are you doing? Where you at? Where you at? What are you up to?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's yeah, my job's similar. Yeah. Like there's enough autonomy that all right, I can do this. I'm making.
Yeah, we all have that personality, and it's like fuck, telling me what the fuck to do. I just want to do my own shit. But coming with that comes with social media posts, and you know you got to get your, you know, communications.
We're Bob Fails.
Network. Oh, trust me, man, it's a struggle. It's a struggle when you start, especially you're two years in, you know what I mean? And so you got to start thinking about your brand and, you know, what your logo or some shit.
I got to get a kick-ass brand like this shit.
And that
looks good on you. Merch in the area.
Look at
man.
That.
This shit
and
he
got
tight.
The winter edition, baby.
Yeah,
he
got the long sleeves. One of the things that stuck out in my mind and keeps playing in my head over and over, the late great John Witherspoon said that he never acted a day before in his life,
right.
And he's been in several movies.
Several.
So that it translated in my head like this dude ain't acting; he was himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like comedy is one of the only professions that you could get paid well.
Genius.
To be yourself.
Right. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Anywhere else you work, you're not really being yourself. You're being yourself, but you're like,
oh, I'm pretty.
You're like, if I wasn't on this job, I would have told you to do this.
I'm close to getting fired because I'm so on being myself.
Like, you know, no one really pays you to be yourself. Like, you're paid to be a representative of the company, and you know that consists of you saying this and acting a certain way, especially if you have clothing with their name on it.
Right.
You're representing that company.
Yeah.
So you always have to keep that in mind. But when you're a comedian or an actor, like John Witherspoon was, you're being paid to be yourself.
Yeah.
And that's a great thing. And you know, I admire Bob because he acts and talks the same way he does on stage as he does off stage. Like what you're hearing now.
Good or bad. That's what's happening, man.
That's how he sounds on stage.
It's a character.
You know
what I'm saying? It's almost like, what the fuck is that one show on that cartoon? It's not Family Guy, but what's the other one? Where they stand outside the fence.
Oh, in Texas.
King of the Hill.
You'd be a goddamn cartoon character. I can't get that. Fucking Bob around the corner. Bob the neighbor.
These big goobers. That's the big boobers.
Drinking some whiskey. Goddamn Bob.
You know what? You know, and Bob Washington, he does great comedy to me. I think he's funny. He always has a great attitude. He attacks the stage the same way consistently. Is there anything else in the pike? Are you interested in acting? Are you interested in doing writing? Or
yeah,
like if you can, okay, so if you can wave a reality magic wand, what would Bob Watson be doing?
Damn, I'd be writing like the best movie, like comedy movie, and Hollywood scoop it right up, and it'd be just like, it'd be kind of like some of the old school like comedies.
Naked
where it was
Gun.
Like, yeah.
Well, can you imagine Naked Gun movies?
Well, like give us an example, like compared to like what's already out there. Like, what's your style of writing? Or is there something?
Well,
it'd be like just like stupid, ridiculous humor about, you know, I don't even know what it'd be about particularly, but I don't know, the last big one I can think of that was like hilarious, and not that what I would write be this sex based, but it's just the stupid humor level, like that kind of idea, but would be Hangover.
Okay.
Like that kind of stuff, but or man, that one troupe's got, you guys gotta help me with the name of the troupe, but they did Super Trooper and
it's not Monty Python, is it?
No, it's not Monty Python, and then they also did another one. The second one was really good too, that a lot of people haven't seen. a beer fest. That's what's
called. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen it, but I don't remember a lot of it, though.
Like that stuff, like just like stupid humor, like drinking and I'm not even saying it'd be drinking or sex so much, but it'd just be like that kind of stupid humor level stuff where I don't know why you don't see it much anymore.
I mean, there used to be
in Hollywood
because like it changes. I mean, they're trying to be a certain way. It's like you haven't seen like the Van Wilders type shit. You know what I mean? Like you
did. Or like, what was the name of the National Lampoon?
National Lampoon.
Yeah, yeah, like
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, like that type of comedy? It's like yeah. Well, because of the way things are nowadays, man. Nobody wants to be offended. You know how many movies I've seen, like, dropping F-bombs? And I can't even say, it's terrible that you can't say that. You know what I mean? It rhymes with maggot. It's like, you know how many movies I've seen lately that just dropping that shit, like,
you know what? It's
fluently?
It's funny when...
And I feel bad, like, I mean, I understand why, I get it, I understand. But you know what I mean? It's just like...
Yeah.
We grew up, boy, it's terrible to say with that. That word flew around like, no worries. And I just like, yeah, I'm a female ass grabber, crap. Anybody said, yeah, you fag. I'm like, yeah, I was a female ass grabber. Kids. Hilarious. But you know what I mean? It's like
right.
they ain't making those movies nowadays, man. You can't touch on a lot of that. None of that shit, boy. They ain't going nowhere near it. So a lot of that humor is lost. Like Naked Gun movies. I just mentioned it. You don't see none of that. Tropic Thunder, you can't make that movie ever again.
Oh, shit.
You know what I mean? So it's just like certain things you're just not going to see. So when you become like, when you think about the future of like filmmaking, like thoughts of what you would be able to film. Like somebody said Superbad you wouldn't be able to film. And I was trying to think what was bad in Superbad that you couldn't do today.
I don't know.
I mean, you know what? I'm not sure.
That's a good point. That was another great one. That was like just stupid. Like Superbad's a great example. Like if I could write something, maybe like akin to that, it'd be like, it's just like silly, stupid humor. It's
that's
fun.
All. Pick a situation.
Hopefully, God willing, no one's offended or anything. It's just let's have some fun. Then let's just have
they're
some
definitely
fun.
Gonna it's be offended. Gonna be I just feel like you just make it, and you know, if people are offended. Invite him to the premiere.
Yeah. I mean, I know if anybody's making something now, there's thought that goes into anything. It's not reckless. So anything that's out there is for the purpose of trying to entertain. Unless the whole thing is, like, in ill will. You know what I mean? Unless the whole thing is. But if there's certain things in there and it's humor, it's like people are going to, anybody, like you said, everybody's going to be offended. So
but
you can't stop art. You know what I mean?
Well, aside from the like offensive, maybe somebody's offended part, like honestly, that like when I, sometimes I've done a bit and somebody, I've heard someone in the audience or a fellow comedian be like, oh my God, that was so stupid. And that's like the best compliment to me. I love that. I'm like, that's exactly what I was going for. I want it to be so ridiculously stupid that you laughed and goal achieved and da da da. And that's good. That's good stuff. All right, I'm going to keep this one for my list.
You expressed to us that, you know, you're interested in doing, you know, writing bits and stuff like that. Are you opposed to like acting?
No, not at all. I mean, I don't know. I think it's like a little philosophical or whatever, but I think of like humor and what I'm doing and what we're all trying to do is like just to like bring some laughter and humor and joy into the world in whatever way that manifests itself, is acting or doing skits or writing on a sitcom or however I can do that, like I'm all for it. And just to like carry on even further, and it puzzles me, but to me, and me and my wife were having this discussion, but like I don't need to be the guy telling the jokes. Like I just, like I want to bring that joy to the world. And if I was like, if you never even knew who I was or never seen my face and I'm some writer for whatever the frick ever, Like, that'd be awesome. Right. And in fact, I used to say that, and as I'm getting further into this comedy thing, I can understand how people have their reservations, but I used to be like, hey, if all of us don't make it, like the three of us, let's all just like figure who's the best performer and write for them. And then if he makes it, like he could maybe pull us up or we end up writing on a show somewhere. And everyone's like, no, that's my joke. That's my joke. And I never think that way. I just think if my joke gets said by Cool C and freaking a million people see it, I love it. Right. I don't care if I'm the face of that joke.
It's funny you said that because
right.
That's been my whole theory with
everything.
Everybody that we associate with, like everyone that we perform with, like everybody that, you know, every time we perform, I stop saying it, but I'm thinking like, you know, we do a comedy show. Afterwards, we're talking amongst each other. I've always said, let's support one another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's like each other's stuff. Let's repost each other things.
Right.
And I'm the asshole who just subscribed when just before we got here. Sorry, I'm totally guilty. It wasn't malice. It's just life's busy.
Life is busy, and he subscribed in like less than 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
All right, maybe I am a douchebag. I'm sorry, but
But you're not the only one.
You're not the only one.
I know. The only one.
I don't know. You guys.
If people like it's like if we're okay, so this was my thing, you know, after we performed we would go to a place across the hall.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We were all in there laughing and talking to each other and drinking and playing pool with one another, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But what's wrong and what would be the problem if we all saw each other post and we all liked each other's things?
Mm-hmm.
We all commented on each other's things.
Right.
Yeah. We all put each other's things, if they posted a skit or something, on each other's stories.
Right, right.
Like, what would be the harm in that?
Yeah.
And like you said, like, getting behind that one person, because what you said, and I say it all the time, is like...
All the time.
Parallel to the rap. It's parallel to rap. Because, for example, Nelly. All and the Saint Lunatics, all of them could rap.
Right.
It was Nelly's time to pop. Everybody got behind Nelly, pushed Nelly. Just like the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah.
When they first came out, I think they pushed
Was it Method. GZA? Was it Method?
Well, GZA came out first, and then Method Man, and then, you know, everybody stood behind them. Like, everybody played the role.
Right.
Even if you don't understand that, maybe Digital Underground.
Mm-hmm.
Digital Underground had Tupac behind him dancing because he understood the assignment.
Right.
Tupac came out and became bigger than everybody. But it's just like a matter of time, you just have to play your role to be successful. You know what I'm saying? Like, for example, if all of us came out, like Justin, Bob, me, and if we decided we're gonna push Bob out there.
Right.
He's a fucking character.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
We should get behind that.
Push Bob Watson out there. You know, put Midnight Paco shirts out there, but make sure we put Bob right in the middle. You know what I'm saying?
Fuck yeah. All right, I'm listening now. Go ahead.
Push him out there. He becomes like, maybe like, you know, famous like Jim Carrey.
Shit, Adam Sandler.
Or Adam Sandler.
Because Adam Sandler puts all of his people.
All of his friends in there. Ice Cube uses the same people. Spike Lee uses the same people. And we all eating off of that stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
I could be in Waterboy as a fucking guy like on the sideline like
that.
Hey,
you can do it.
If Bob Watson comes saying? Out, it's like when and people don't think about that. They really don't, and I get it. But this is the one thing I realized, that nobody puts on a show by themselves. You need other comedians, so you need other, you know. But there's cliques, you know what I'm saying, within it. And I told him earlier, it's like high school. You got people that are going to rock with you. You got people that aren't going to rock with you. You got people you don't know and people who just pass by. You know what I mean? It's just, it's hard to navigate through certain things in life to find those people that rock with you. And we like to, you know, spotlight those who we feel who rock with us. You know what I mean? Yeah, and that we enjoy in the scene. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's good to see when you know, because you've said some flattering things, and it's good to see when it's reciprocated back. You know what I mean? When people realize how we are, because we've always came into this as individual, you know, as just real with everybody. We've never tried to talk bad about nobody. You know what I mean? We've always came out to try to have fun and do a show. That's it. Do comedy, have fun, and move on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's so weird what you get into. So it's always good to just, you know, think of the future and remember those around you. You know what I mean? That's rock with you. It helps.
100%. I mean, like, honestly, you two are two of the most, like, straightforward, authentic people going in the scene. And you were talking about hanging out at the Red Fox,
that place.
Yeah, that place.
But yeah, like from
not no more
the first day I met you, you were talking about like community and like hang out and talk and you know, depending on which scene you're at in Cleveland or which city in Northeast Ohio, but yeah, that sense of like, let's all talk and hang out and have some community isn't there. But you've always been a pillar of that. I've always respected that. I always thought the world of you for that, because you've always been that person who's like, we need more community. We need to hang out. We need to promote each other. We need to help each other out.
Hey, hold on, before we get going, and I know it's completely off the subject, I want to find out what place did you go to begin with? Like, when you were going to do comedy, where did you look up? How did you find the first mic to go to?
Oh, that's cool, man. That's so I was like, all right, I'm going to try and do this shit. And there was an open mic. I think I just Googled it, but the only one that showed up was at Hatfield's.
Okay.
It's like Cleveland.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And,
shout out to Hatfield's.
Shout out to Hatfield's.
It's closed,
yeah.
But it's coming back.
Is it coming back? What?
It's coming back.
Oh, shit.
Oh, Hatfield's?
Oh.
It's coming back.
It's coming back. Little Bernie told us.
Who was hosting?
I'm not sure what's happening.
Was
now,
Bunny? Was Bunny or Armstrong?
Bad Bunny or Armstrong? Or
Jimmy Armstrong.
Okay.
Armstrong.
Shout was out to John hosting. Armstrong. Okay.
Shout out to John Armstrong.
Hey, and you know what?
We had him on the podcast recently.
He's been here.
A double shout out to John Armstrong, because you know what? I'm just like, it was my first mic. And I had whatever, the couple things that worked out. I'm just some idiot, middle-aged white guy. And John
going through a midnight crisis.
Yeah, pretty, you're right. And John Armstrong was like, that was pretty funny. Like, da-da-da. And he's like, there's some other mics, go here. He threw a couple other mics at me and complimented me that it was pretty funny. And
nice.
That meant a lot to me.
Right?
Like, fresh out the gate like that.
He's a seasoned comedian,
yeah,
too, so that's
and
good.
I didn't know that.
Right.
But that he, like, was, like, positive about what I did and told, he's, you know, so much so that he's like, hey, go, there's these other mics, like, keep working at this kind of thing.
No, that's dope.
That was really fucking cool.
Yeah.
He didn't know me from Adam. And you see so many people in the comedy scene, like, sadly, like, people, like, I don't know, like, they're all strangers, you know? All these people come and go, and it's easy to dismiss people. John Armstrong didn't do that, though. I was just one other freaking idiot that showed up that night, and John Armstrong was like, hey, that was pretty good, you know, that's
awesome.
That's
shout out to John Armstrong.
Yeah, in the lens of there's all these strangers pass through, and he still stopped and did that. that's even more powerful
right.
for me.
No, that's awesome.
I'm gonna tell you why, but go ahead, you say something.
I'm just saying because because it's terrible, because how many times we've been and seen the same people plenty of times and they act like they don't know who the fuck you are. Mm-hmm. It's like, come on, dude, you know who the fuck I am. You see me. You see who we are.
So
come on.
Alright, so one of the things that, you know, I'm gonna say this in public. Like, all right, for guests that's on the Midnight Paco podcast, normally it's people that Justin and I really like, really mess with. We are a fan of their comedy. And another thing is that they take it seriously.
Yeah.
You know, we had people that was, we thought was cool,
mm-hmm.
and they were on the show, and now they don't do comedy anymore.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know, and I almost speak for John Armstrong. Like right now, like Justin and I, we only 4 years old.
Yeah.
But we can sort of see people that's serious about this
mm-hmm.
versus people that's just going up trying something or just not taking it serious. Like, if we see a person that's like serious about it and then actually has talent and potential, those are the people that I normally approach. And when they say they do first time, I normally take a picture of them because I think everybody should.
Yeah, he's known for some boy.
I think everybody should have a picture of their first time.
He's a guardian angel on earth, boy, for comedians who show up in his presence. Because, like, they most of the time they just go up and they're unexpected or they're up by themselves and he ends up just like, and but hey, I'll follow you, and then sends him a picture.
Yeah,
for the first time. Cool, you know what I mean?
I mean, everybody should have a picture the first time, but I'm just saying, like, not everybody is like serious about it, you know. It's like, and you know, you said you've been doing it for like 2.5 years,
mm-hmm.
and you've been consistent. You've been rocking out. I've been seeing you getting better and better every time you're on stage. So I'm like,
thank you.
You know, why not have Bob Watson on? And I'm not saying that we're all that, and you got to be all that to be on the show. But
he's one of
like,
my favorites, so sorry, people.
But I might be all that. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you might be all that.
You might be all that.
You damn straight.
I'm
maybe
sorry.
Not yet, but I'm getting there.
Hey, man, I got
no, but you know, when you take it seriously and you're consistent, and I see you, like, you know, he came down to where I was doing my show at, and he performed, and I was going to call him back, but.
Oh shit.
Yeah. No, but I'm just saying, he did come and rock out with us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That says a lot.
If life wasn't life, I would have absolutely rocked out with you for the. That would have been awesome to be in a close.
No, no, but I'm just saying, like, you know, like, okay, so here's the thing that most people may know or may not know. In the comedy world, you got your white rooms, you got your black rooms, and you got your mixed rooms. I had a black room that I was doing, and Bob came and rocked out. He was in the
trade.
That
was a great room, great audience.
Thank you. Thank you. And he rocked out and did his thing.
We should back up, though. Like, Cool C does everything professional, just right. Like, the whole show was that way. Like start on time, end on time, toning down the audience. Like, hey, these people are performing. Like, whatever. Professionalism you would expect at any club, Cool C did that.
Thank nice. You. I appreciate it. Yep. Speaking on time, no, I'm just kidding.
The show's over.
No, I'm just joking.
He's stupid.
Yeah. And that says a lot about you, and that says a lot about your dedication to the craft. And to me, that's why you're here.
Right.
Because if you didn't show any dedication or any, like, you taking it serious, and I'm not saying, oh, you didn't do my show, you're not coming on the podcast, but it's just like, he's the real deal, folks. Bob Watts is the real fucking deal.
Any show that's got an audience is like, that's, you know, that's great. And whether it's black or white, and you know, black or white, it's like, well, you gotta find what's funny for everybody,
right?
You know, so like, that's only gonna make you better to do every demographic you can and try and be funny in that room.
And that room was, and that room's like up close and personal. That's not on the stage.
That's in your face.
That's in your face. I'm sitting here and people are, I'm standing here and people are right there. And they try to get the mic. And I'm like, no, not today.
And you know what? I couldn't do it without my team, man. And Jay was a part of my team. I had Justin and D-Hawk that I could always fall back on. Shout out to Gene Miller.
Shout out to Gene, boy.
He came in and saved the day a couple of D-Hawk. Times. Well, like, D-Hawk.
The night I was on, Precious was on.
Yeah.
Okay. I love her. She's funny as shit. And
shout out to Precious.
Shout out to Precious.
Yeah, she's coming up. You're going to see her.
You're going to see her.
Remember her name.
Yeah.
Candace Precious.
She's
Uncle Pippin's daughter.
Yep. She's a great human being. There's a lot of people who are just like they're just plain funny and they're great people and regardless of what scene you're in, you know.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I love is we're all going for one goal. We all got lives to live, boy. And you know what I mean? And we're all trying to make it out nights to try and get these people to laugh. You know what I mean? It's like we're all thinking in our heads all day long on what's funny and we got to deal with this and work and this and that and this and that. But I navigate through life just to get to a spot to do some funny jokes for everybody.
Well, you know what?
And 5 minutes.
That's true. But here's another thing that a lot of people that's here don't realize. Cleveland and the Northeast Ohio area, you know, Cleveland, Canton.
You say this all the time.
It's a rough time and rough place to do comedy.
You say it all the time.
It really is. It's a rough place to entertain. So if you got laughs here, and the rest of the world is simple.
Yeah.
The rest of the world
is simple. They welcome me. They welcomed us, I believe. I mean, every one of us. Every time I've seen a crowd, I mean, we've gotten, you know, we got laughs. We know what nights are nights. You know what I'm saying?
Some nights nobody gets laughs.
Yeah. It's just those nights, and it's one of those things. And you just take it for the rep, and you improve somehow because you always see something in your set. You know what I mean? That's the beautiful thing about this thing. We're all our worst critics, and anytime we get off the stage, even if it's been good, it's been bad. You know what I'm saying? So it's
well,
like,
I know that Justin and I, we always record our sets. Do you record your sets, Bob?
Yeah, at least audio, you know, and sometimes video if there's enough people.
I'm going to suggest, regardless, always do video.
I see why he says if there's enough people, he wants to catch those moments, boy, with a crowd.
I get it, but even right. for yourself,
yep.
You want to record your performance, look at you, see what you could have did differently. Saw what hit. A lot of times you can say something, but you know, the fact that we have lights and people can see you, it could be your facial expressions.
Mm-hmm.
All of that counts.
Yeah.
Facial expressions.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
All of that counts, like movements. I mean, it's like, even with the same material, because, you know, I hated doing the same material, but I learned to do like different things. Even doing the same material, I'm doing different things. I had a bad habit. If the cord was tangled, I'm up there untangling the cord. I'm playing with the cord. Mm. I tried not to pace so much.
Yeah.
I worked on looking at the audience.
Wait, let's back up about pacing.
Yeah.
So, there, I don't know, there's some people are like, you want to use the whole stage, you want to go back and forth. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes when I'm up there, like I'm kind of just walking, like say 2 steps either side, just like nervous energy. And then some people, like sometimes I wonder, is that like bad, like it seems like nervous energy? And sometimes I'm like, people are like, you want to present energy, and so even if you're pacing a little bit, that's good. And then sometimes I'm like, maybe you should just be standing still.
So
you know what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, and that's why it's important to record.
Mm-hmm. I got something on this.
But what's the official, you're supposed to do?
I'm going to tell you this, because I don't know. I'm pretty goddamn active, you know what I mean? And I used to think I'm Chris Rock. So I used to think I gotta cover the whole stage, you know what I mean? You gotta go from side to side, this and that. And one day, there was a comedian there, but his buddy was sitting in the stands, watching the thing, and he's like, "Hey, you're funny. Just stand still."
Yeah.
To stand still. Now, if it...
That's the thing. You hear different
needed,
things, right?
But if it's needed... Like, most of your stuff, do you need to move? Or do you have to act something out?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have nervous energy because I talk like this. I talk with my hands a lot. You know, I'm just like this or that, you know. But if it's required, yeah, you got to move around.
Right, like, so...
Depending on how many people are there, too. You know what I mean? It sucks because you see... Yeah, I try and make sure you're talking to everybody. You know what I mean?
But I try to make sure everybody's included.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you can do that by looking like this. You don't have to necessarily, depending on how big the stage is.
Right.
We're not performing in a goddamn theater, so most of the stages are like where you can just look at motherfuckers. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, a lot more.
But if it requires movement, you know what I mean?
I've performed a couple of theaters.
Iconic theaters, but stage-wise, did you have to walk around?
A couple of theaters,
yeah, I know. I get it. I did one.
I performed a couple of theaters.
Whatever.
In my lifetime.
However, what I'm saying is...
And there are, theaters.
Either way...
Theaters. You wouldn't know he's a truck driver.
Yeah.
But when you perform,
wait on the Apollo is what I'm saying.
In the theaters, a couple of times.
You gotta walk from
he must learn to perform and throw your voice so the entire
theater
can hear your voice. So when I did a couple of theaters,
did you walk or not, dude?
Yeah. I may have walked. Did I walk? I don't remember.
No, you didn't do much.
I was so in character,
I don't recall.
Yes, I was just performing on stage in the theater.
I guess it's, you know, what how big the stage is and what it requires.
Well, you were at the first Care Move.
That's what I'm saying.
Performance, right? That was in the bigger theater.
And you did, I mean, you move, but you move according to what your set is.
Okay.
You know, like, I'm going to put... And you do what you do, like moving according to stage. You don't just, like, your nervous energy. It's not that.
No, I try not to.
Not at that point, you weren't. You weren't messing with the cord at that point.
No, I was
just. You know what I mean? You cleaned up that shit.
It was just, you know, when you're at a theater.
Yeah. So, recording, have you noticed any, like, things that you do, like, that you did before that you don't do anymore?
You must play theaters.
Honestly, a big chunk of it was like where to hold the mic, right? Like,
yeah, you like, just used to stand, you know, there from what I remember.
I'm going to tell you something. A good example of stage posture and performance is Daniel Myers. Shout out to Daniel Myers.
He's a professional at that, yeah.
Just look at the way he holds the mic and the way he stands on stage. Mm. You know what? And you know what? Even though he's not like world famous and everything,
right.
You know, I'm at the point in my life, and I'm comfortable enough to know, but that he has great stage presence. He holds the mics good. Yep. He has good posture on stage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Myers, if you want to ever want to know, check out his performance. He has great material, great jokes too.
Yeah.
He's also been on the show.
Yeah. Check out early episodes.
But yeah, I'm like, look, I think I even told you, Jess. I'm like, that dude has great stage posture.
Yeah.
He holds the mic good. He's doing a great job on stage.
His goal is to be the best comedian. He said it on our podcast.
Hey.
And so when you do that, like, I used to watch things on how to take the mic out of the stand and this and that, and I realized I'm not going up there like Daniel and ripping that bitch out like he owns that. I'm up there like, boom, 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 every time. I don't give a fuck. I'm just going out there grabbing the mic. You know what I mean? It's like, you can prepare so much, but no, he does it like, professional shit, you know what I mean? So
he is a professional stage presence.
But you realize that, like, when you watch yourself on film, you're like, ooh, I could probably cut that out, because I do this a lot, you know what I mean? Like, because I'm up there and I'm trying to show like this and that, but it's like, it looks weird because I'm just up there like, what's up, what's going on, everybody? You know what I mean? I can cut back that, you know what I mean? So it's like, I've noticed certain things because I'm watching it on film, which is excruciating sometimes.
Yeah, you know? It can be ugly. Yeah. But well, for me, it was like, I think I was holding it more out here,
and then
somebody's like, hold it here.
Yeah.
But even that's like dicey, because sometimes the mic's not picking it up then, you know, and depending on the cheap mic you're working with. But that, and then I would look down too often. I'm guilty of that. Like, I'm thinking of my next line.
Oh, okay.
Or I'm, you know, fiddling with the chord, like you're saying. But in general, like, so there's those stupid mechanic things that I noticed. But the big thing is just what you're saying about facial expressions. Like, a lot of times I'm like, I need to... you know, kind of act out that thing. Like, yeah, people were surprised
about
they can grow meat in a lab now.
And like, you're more like, into it.
Yeah, like especially the setup, you know, because you tell the setup again and again, and you got to remember to make it new and fresh and really sell the setup, and then that makes the punchline hit.
Right.
Do you have... any like constant, like if people wanted to see you perform, you have any upcoming shows?
I got I think it's the 25th here, the Saturday, whatever it's closest to the 26th Saturday at Crackpot's coming up.
Okay.
And then I got the other ones are a little further out. Like we got shout out to Bill Squire.
That guy,
he's probably the biggest name in comedy in Cleveland, and he does and he does a lot to like give comedians opportunities here in Cleveland. There's a competition going on. I got that the 4th
of February.
The 4th of February at Brothers Lounge.
Okay,
there you
and
go.
Then I got a there's a Valentine's show. Oh man, I can't even tell you where it's at though. I have Lou Santini. Also, he was in Las Vegas for a long time, but he's a professional. He's out of Crackpots a lot, but he's got a show around Valentine's. And then
okay,
I think March I got a show in Madison.
Okay.
With Steve Sabo, he's like a real professional.
There you go. All right.
But
you make moves, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
I can dial down on the details, maybe in the credits or something.
Yeah.
The couple shows.
He's working, is what he's saying.
Yeah, I'm trying to get out there, and some people appreciate what I'm doing and give me a couple opportunities.
So you heard it, guys. You know, he said he's interested in doing some acting. He's not opposed to doing any acting.
That's right.
He said he got some great ideas for some scripts. All right.
Well, more than that. I write shit down all the time. I have like pages of like what would be skits or a funny scene in a movie. Like one day I got to pile it all together, but I got pages.
At least
I don't even know, five
down.
Pages at least.
I got ideas and then I lay my head down and they disappear like crazy.
Nah, I'm always writing.
Nice.
No, that is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So listen up, you know, you heard it first from here at the Midnight Pocket Podcast. Anybody that's creating movies need some script writers?
I mean, he's a character in himself.
Oh man, but look up Bob Watson. Don't sleep on Bob Watson. Do not sleep on Bob Watson.
One of my faves.
Yeah, he's definitely one of my faves too. He's always consistent. He always attacks the stage and the mic.
He's out there to have a good time, everybody, man. That's what it's all about.
He does his Bob
people
Watson.
Laugh.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about, especially in this area. This Northeast Ohio area is also like we have a short period of summertime.
Right.
You know, and it gets dark so early here now. It puts people in bad moods, and it's a lot of crime here all the time. So we out here at the battleground on the front line, trying to make people laugh. The opposite of everything negative, and I think that we're doing a great job. I personally think that Bob Watson, Justin Fuller makes me laugh. In this stage of this, thank you. In this city that can be so dark, so it's like. It's a thing that's necessary.
If you can laugh with this shitty ass football team we got,
I agree.
You know what? This only people that's qualified for this conversation is myself and Bob Watson. Justin is not qualified.
Oh yeah, I forgot. We got a Pittsburgh fan.
Yeah, he's
over
a Squealer fan. So.
I agree 100%, Bob. You are absolutely correct, sir. So if you just can't stand your football team, you can definitely laugh with us.
Can we edit or bloop out the whatever you're saying? Like this is so
unnecessary. We can, but I will not, sir.
Oh man. So say it again, Justin. Say it again.
What?
Whatever you just said.
What?
About our football team.
Oh, they're the worst.
Say it again one more time.
They're the worst. They're the worst. The worst football team.
Cleveland Browns. Yo, we Cleveland Browns, Cavaliers, the Guardians. Yo, we're the best team in the world.
Cavaliers are kicking ass.
Yeah. Cavaliers. Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
I think we're better than the Pittsburgh basketball team.
Buccaneers?
What's the name of your basketball team?
Yeah, we
exactly. You don't have one, so you're not a part of this conversation.
Because we play hockey.
You're not in a real city.
Hold on.
We play hockey.
It's like a township or something.
Yeah, they play hockey. I'm not even from there.
Look.
But they play hockey.
Wait a minute. What's the name of your baseball team?
The Pirates.
The Pirates.
Roberto Clemente.
The Guardians. That's all I can say. Wait a minute. So you root for Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Erie, PA, baby. Seawolves all day.
Seawolves? What the hell is that? Is this a blue league team?
A farm team for the Detroit Tigers.
The Seawolves?
Your Memphis.
The little Seawolves. Was it Shamu? Was the mascot?
The Seawolves.
Shamu?
The wolf of the pack.
Oh, Seawolves.
Seawolves. Aren't those like little microscopic?
Oh, that type shit.
What is a Seawolf?
I don't know. It's an animal.
I don't think it exists.
I don't know.
They're just making shit up
anyway,
over there.
Yo.
They're all on mushrooms in Erie, PA.
So I love them.
Basically. Mushrooms in it.
Yes.
Episode of the Midnight Pocket Podcast brought to you in part by the Acumen Paralegal Services. Help you help yourself the legal way. The services that they offer, they help with documents that need to be typed. Guardianships, probate, divorce, wills and trust, complaints, business organization, financial planning, and legal research and writing. Go ahead and give them a call at 216-727-0049 or 216-456-2000. Michelle White will get you right.
Jay, where can they find you at, baby?
Yo, everybody, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the_great_CORE. That's where you can find me. Or you can find us both on the Midnight Pocket Podcast.
That's right.
Mr. Watson, where can they find you, sir?
Bob Watson 828 on Facebook and Bob Watson 828 on Instagram.
That's right.
Thank you for tuning in to another fantastic episode of the Midnight Pocket Podcast.
Appreciate you, brother.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yes, sir. Peace out.
Midnight Pocket. Midnight Pocket Podcast. Midnight. Midnight Pocket. Midnight Pocket Podcast. Midnight Pocket. Midnight Pocket Podcast.